Hi, everyone. Hi, Len and Anna. I was a bit worried about you. I'm glad you're here. Welcome, everyone. Oops. Oh, I see. You've spotlighted me. All right. Just hiding myself. Oh, I can't. Okay. Okay. Better. Sorry. Eugene, who's helps me, I think she was trying to figure out how to do something with a camera. And suddenly I was filling up the whole screen and I wasn't seeing all of you. And I much prefer seeing all of you. All righty. Well, is anybody new? Maybe if you're new, just give me a little wave. No? Nobody new. Yes, Laura. Hi, welcome. Okay. Well, it's lovely to have all of you and make yourselves comfortable, as always. Sometimes I lean, I have a cushion and I lean, and sometimes I don't lean. And maybe it's nice to have the option to lean, but then not to lean. To lean or not to lean? That is the question. Not leaning means that, well, you know, it means that sometimes when we explore the spine and the roots of the body with the earth and the connection with the sky, somehow maybe not leaning puts you in touch with the elemental energies. But it's also nice to lean sometimes, so then you can really, in your heart, feel, the relaxation and the turning towards the preciousness. I remember once going to a Sufi meeting in years ago, and I had never been. And I came into the room, and they were already in the meditation, and they were all sort of like completely slouched like this, but and they looked ever so devotional because they were, I don't know, they were just curled up with God. So feel free to curl up and not to curl up. And so when you're ready, you can allow your eyes to close, having ascertained that there's a bunch of us here, friendly people, gathered. And that we are sharing silence to begin with. When you close your eyes and you let your body and your mind sink into this silence, really, that's all that matters. Really, that is the essence of why we gather. And to this silence, you just offer whatever arises. In other words, you don't have to make the mind, the body, or the world silent, nor can you. But you feel that the silence is this quality. Of openness. In which the body can do as it pleases, moment by moment. And the mind too. And the world, obviously, too. It's easier to see with the world. You don't know when I begin to speak and when I cease to speak. The world, which is represented by my voice, is doing what it wants. And it's the same with the bodily feelings and sensations and the thoughts, the memories, and even if movement occurs in the body. Spontaneously, that too is free. In other words, stillness is not imposed either. Perhaps to begin with, instead of entertaining the thoughts, you let them be, but you don't need to entertain them. You don't need to sit down with them. But you can, to begin with, sort of entertain the feelings. In other words, really allow yourself to feel your body. And the state of mind, not so much the content of the mind, but the sort of state of mind, state of heart, state of body. Saying hello. Saying, yes, I would like to feel you, body, rather than label you or analyze you. I would like to feel you, world, the world. Appears as the sound of this voice, but it also appears as the temperature on your skin, the texture of your clothes on your skin, the texture of, and the temperature of the earth under the body. Hello, hello. Hello, breath. breath. Is breath body or is breath world? No need to answer that question. Tasting breath. But the way we taste the body and the world and the feelings, the sensations, the tensions, the tinglings, it's light. It's as if we are this silence, but it's a silence that can taste. It's a very tactile, sensual silence that can taste the sound of this voice, that can feel the sound of this voice, that can taste whatever it is that it is tasting. Doesn't really care, this silence, this tactile, sensual silence. That I am. It's open to whatever arises. As it is open to itself. In other words, nothing needs to happen, nothing needs to be maintained, nothing needs to make sense. Nothing is going anywhere. There's just a lot of space. And if you find yourself resisting or wrestling with something, with a feeling or a state of affairs, if you find yourself contracted, all you need to do is, if possible, I mean, these are just suggestions, but maybe try. You either can say hello with a little smile, little invisible smile. Hello. Hello to the resistance. Or you could say, yes. Yes. Right in the middle of the place that feels like a no, and to which you would usually habitually say no. Right there in your shoulders, in the middle of your chest or belly, between your eyes. I don't know, you lots of places where you would habitually be hearing a no. Just go right into it, like into a cave. And you say yes. You feel. Yes means I feel. I welcome. And if there's a lot of, if there's a very big no somewhere, well, hey, you might as well go right into that no and say no, really, really loudly, silently, loudly. But feel it as a yes. Yes to the no. And just let your bodies move a bit, just because bodies like to move. My body likes to move, and I'm guiding the meditation. So I get to say when the body wants to move, but actually, I don't. You get to say. But if the body wants to move right now, give it the Place it rather, place it in movement. So it's almost like you don't have to manufacture the movement, you just place it in movement. Suddenly the silence is also moving. And it's moving without knowing what, where, when, just breathing, moving, including every area of the body that is willing to be taken into this current. For example, the head. You don't have to live in the head during the meditation. You can live as whatever you like, whatever appears. So let the head move because it's not needed as the headquarters. And your arms, maybe they would like to move away from your torso, and I don't know, your fingers. The body, it's a wild place. We know that. Movement, body, touch, breath. When we return to this way, it's not civilized. It's just natural. Feel the natural breath, body. Movement. And then gently let the body settle back towards stillness. Let it do it all by itself. As if you were the earth and the body is sort of aligning itself, planting itself in you. Again, don't try to do it. If possible, feel. For example, feel the place where your body meets the ground, your pelvis. Feel very deep, if you can, into the perineum, the place right there at the center, at the root of you, root of your body, but root of you. Can you release the weight of the pelvis? Of the legs? Let it happen. It's almost like you're saying to the pelvis and the legs, you can be wild. You can be wildly connected to the earth. Be very patient, and if possible, or if you're impatient, be very impatient, but taste it. And if you're patient, it means let it take the time that it takes for your body to do whatever it bodies. Maybe feel the top of your head now. Whatever it is that you feel that is sort of the top of your head, but perhaps in a way there isn't a top of your head at the moment. It's very much more easy to feel a solid sense at the root of your body. That feeling of the earth, so what, so earthy. And then at the top there, travel up to the head area. It's a little bit different, isn't it? Just feel that. Let yourself feel there isn't a top of the head. There's just this sort of vague cloud-like sensation. And what is there in between the pelvis and the top of the head? Can you feel something? Don't force it. Make sure you're comfortable. I have to unbutton my trousers. Your belly can move? Question mark. Is it allowed to be a bit wild, your belly, with the breath? And maybe you feel your face and all the tension that lives in your face. Just feeling your face without labeling, but without rubbing away anything. Feeling your forehead, your eyes, your cheeks, your nose, tip of your nose, nostrils, delicate entrance of the nostril. Hello, hello. Yes, you are very sensitive and wild. Face. Feel your lips, top lip, touching the space in front. Let it be. Let it come to life. Lower lip. You can moisten your lips. Feeling your chin. How pointy is your chin? How round is it? Would it like to extend out like a witch's chin, maybe? Let your chin be wild. Your ears. Just feeling the sensitivity at the entrance of your ear canal. Left ear first. Feeling all the little hairs that exist there, very sensitive. Now traveling to the right ear, just that has created a difference. The left ear has woken up. And now the right ear. The whole face. Very alive, maybe. Your whole front of the body, let it be very alive. Sensual. Yeah, and now if you're sitting without leaning against something, make your spine go round, collapse your spine. Make it go around, dropping, curling, dropping. And then very gently feel a little flame from the sort of root at your pubic bone or right at the bottom there, it doesn't matter where, just a little flame that starts to lick the space in front. It becomes a bigger and bigger flame. And so the torso is coming back to a sense of verticality, but it's very organic. Feel whatever it is you're feeling. It might not be comfortable. There might be, I don't know, a little bit of a battle going on. That's yummy to feel. Feel it. And again, collapsing the spine. Don't do it. Let it happen. Melting the back body. You can always help with your hands if they feel like they might want to help, especially in the part which we're doing now, which is that little flame licking, growing, licking, and the spine is elongating. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just allow it. Feel your pelvis rooting into the earth. Your legs are dropping like in quicksand. Hello, body. Feel your whole body. Complaints and all. Body of suffering, okay, it's welcome too. It's just that we're letting the body come undone a bit. And again, let the movement arise. As if it was coming from, arising from the root, from the pelvis. There's a sense of being connected to the earth, and the spine just ripples, the head, the shoulders, the arms. The legs can extend too, but there's a sort of connectedness. If the body wants to stand, that's fine too, but then it's the connectedness to the earth through the feet, still through the pelvis, and through the legs and the feet. But if you're sitting, just letting the breath, the touch, the temperature, the pelvis, feel that area. Pelvis is a bit mechanical. Feel the place between your sexual area and your anus. That becomes a bit more alive when we say words like that. Very intense, alive energy there. And then the movement rises out of there somehow. Yes, and again, letting the body come back in its own time to stillness without doing it. Dropping the weight of the arms, the shoulder. Make sure you place your arms, your hands as they want to be placed in alignment with gravity. How would that be? See how it is for you. Your fingertips, very alive. Your hands wild, rewilding your hands. Your touching, gesturing hands. Feel your claws, your nails, your claws. Feel the sensation of your nails. How long are they? Your energy nails, maybe they want to grow. And your palms, can you feel your palms or not? Maybe it's just very vague tingling sensation, the palms. Yet very sacred sensation. Maybe you want to turn your palms to face up or out. Really resting your hands on your lap so that you can feel your palms completely freely. Deep pools, your palms. Yes. And what else should we feel? Your heart area? What's it like? Just No labels, but just feel. What's the energy wanting to move? How does the energy in the heart area want to move? Don't ask your head, ask it directly. Maybe it wants some breath. Maybe it wants to be felt as it is without all, without being open or free. Maybe our hearts are not always immediately aligned with the truth. Feel your heart as it is, that area. Just breathing there, saying hello. Hello, heart. You might want to bring one hand and another hand on top of that hand to your heart area. Just hello. Nothing to do. Silence all around. The breath knows what to do. Let it deepen if it wants to deepen. Let the sigh come. Yes. And now let your hands come back to your lap gently. Still feeling the heart area. Feeling the space that extends in front of the body. And being open to the possibility that the space extending in front of the body is intimately connected to the body. You can't really feel the place, the limit between the front of your body and the space beyond. Perhaps you can feel a sort of yes saying from the body into the space in front. Just try, don't force. As if you were reconnected with the sense of unconditional safety. On a tactile level. So that your whole front body the pores of your skin, the muscles, the bones, the cells, the feeling of your whole body in front, willing to open into the space beyond. But it's tricky because you don't want to start to try and make it happen. Let's see what happens. There's absolutely no right or wrong. It's an exploration. You could say to yourself, I don't live the real I, the most essential I that I am. I am not confined to a limited body. And when I come to the shrine or to meditations like this, I can remember that, not just with my thoughts or my heart, but with my body, my real body, which is, my real body is just pure openness. And you give yourself permission to feel that, really, with your actual felt, tactile sense. And I know that you also feel a lot of tension in various parts of the body, because that's just the way it goes. But perhaps you can also feel this sort of open body, undefended body. And your body of suffering, your physical body, your body of your personal body, which suffers because it's hard to be a person, a separate person, or even a non-separate person. It's just hard. Life is hard for most of us. It's hard doesn't mean bad, but it's hard. So here we feel that. We feel my hard working body, my physical pain, but then maybe we can let the physical body learn from this essential body, this body of openness. So now let's explore a little bit with movement. Feel your shoulder, feel your lower arms coming off your lap. Some of you know this movement very well, but it's always the first time. Your upper arms are hanging alongside your body. And very slowly feel your elbows are pushing your shoulders up, and they're moving up very effortlessly towards your ears. And then very slowly, these clouds are coming back down smooth. Don't do it, just allow it and feel it. Down they come, down they come, down they come. And this physical body is learning about openness and weightlessness. And again, elbows are pushing the elbows up. There's no effort. There's no weight. Nobody doing it. I am the open space. There's just this ripple. Make sure the head, the back of the neck is licking the space behind. Yes, and again, the shoulders are melting back down. Don't do it. Down, 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 down. Yes, and you can let your arms dissolve back into your lap. If there's pain, physical pain, don't be in a rush to draw conclusions. Let the pain, the pain might be a result of some layer being allowed to surface. Being allowed to have a little swim in openness. Our physical bodies, they do learn quite quickly when they're given a little bit of time to remember. Let's make some little circles with the neck and the head. Very, very gentle, small. Don't make them big. So, so slow. One circle will take a lifetime. It's one of those planets that orbits very slowly, slowly, smooth. There is no head or neck, there's just this ripple, tactile ripple in you. You're this open space. Here it is, the ripple. Smooth, smooth, alive, wild. Nobody doing it. Or if you feel that you're doing it, you, the doer, the mover, are very mysterious. Yes, and now the other way, slowly. The ripple of the circle, and then the rootedness, the earth at the root of the body, the breath, the silence, the sound of this voice mingling with the sensation of the movement. None of it makes sense. Ah, yes, and now let the head, whatever that is, let it come back to where it wants to come back to. Hello, body. Well done for following my meditation, everyone. Stay with me a few more minutes. Stay with your bodies. Not just your bodies. I don't know what we're with, but it's with something that is way more than just the conventional sense of a body. It's like we're reunited with life, with the wild of the life. The wild of life. And life, a life that is wild, is not separate from whatever it is that gives rise to life. If you're not leaning, I'm going to lean back on my cushion. Make yourselves comfortable. Surrendering, surrendering. Breathing, surrendering, feeling. Just being.
connecting with your own unique way of knowing. Knowing what you know the deepest, which is you, of course. Being open to the possibility that you, the very ordinary you that you are at every moment, that you is divine. We each have a way of connecting with that knowledge, very innocent, like when we were children. Okay, everyone, thank you. We'll take a little break for about 5 minutes and come back at 5:30. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, welcome back. You're welcome to speak if you would like. Don't be shy and no obligations, of course. If you want to say something or ask something or share something, just go for it. Hi, Hilka. I'll just say something. I was thinking that in the future sessions, mark my words, we might do a bit more postures and movements, just a little bit more. And I encourage you, nothing drastic, but maybe we'll experiment a bit with a little bit more. Would you like that? Rose would like that. Okay. Go for it, Lynn.
Well, I just think that, referring to silence in the way that you did kind of left us in silence, but that the thing that I really loved about that was referring to it as openness. And I would For me, the word receptivity came up too, because I was sitting here in this openness, kind of a spaciousness, and then the furnace went on, kicked on, it brought the temperature up 2 degrees or whatever it does. And so then the silence, or the openness, was colored by the sound of the furnace, and the openness. It's as if everything just came in and out of this silent openness. So it was very beautiful, and maybe that's why we've been so silent. I don't know.
You
Thank
can,
you.
it doesn't matter. Thank you, Len. It's nice that you're back. I was worried about you.
Yeah, I was also thinking as you were talking about saying yes to, I had pneumonia.
I
For a
know.
couple, yeah, I mentioned that, and just saying yes to that, it's not easy to say yes to something when it's sort of kind of dominating your field.
Yeah.
So I was just, hearing what you were saying about saying yes to the no, and that was really. Well, I'm not sure how to do that when you're really feeling something potent.
I don't think it's the time to do anything. Well, you know, when you're feeling rotten, you're feeling rotten, or, you know, very ill. In a way, you know, it's, I mean, as you know very well, then the yes saying is not something we have to do. It's just the nature of, I mean, everything's a yes, even horrible things. I mean, there's a lot of horror going on in the world, and it's all appearing, and it's appearing. Therefore, it's been said yes to. But, you know, I guess when we're in meditation, we can sort of connect with that. And so I guide, and I say as if we were taking that posture of yes saying, of welcoming, but actually it's not correct, because there isn't anybody in the first place, really. I mean, there is a Len and an Ellen, but that Len and Ellen are an expression of the yes, you know, like, in other words, yeah. So I don't know, you know, like, when you're ill, you're just ill. When you're well, you're well. When you're a bit of both, you're a bit of both. And when you're ill and feel the reverence or the mystery or the presence of God, then you're ill and you feel the, and you're in touch with that yes saying. And when you're ill and you're just ill and you just want to go to sleep, then that's what's going on. You know, it's, we're not 24/7.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's almost like working your way through difficulty with some shred of equilibrium, just a tiny shred.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, anyway. And that too is, you know, it's, I guess we can cooperate with that, because we're intelligent beings, and we love the truth, and we love what we love, so we can harness what we can harness in times of trouble and resource. And, you know, you've got Anna, who can bring you some nice cups of tea, and and, you know, but I mean, things like that then help you, as you say, find some equilibrium. But it's all grace in the end. I mean, I don't know how it all works. Because I guess moments of chaos, you know, just in life, and the body, it gets ill, it's utter chaos. And in that moment, it's chaos, and the body will die one day. That's quite chaotic.
That's a for sure.
Anyway, thank you, Len. I'm glad you're not dying. I was actually worried. I was like, I hope he's okay, because pneumonia is serious.
I know. And it's funny. Something that came up, which is just ridiculous, is that after we had been in Norway and these fjords, and then we had a couple of back-to-back weddings, and I found that on a Friday night, 1 week apart, and we had to travel to go to them, and I found out the night before, on a Friday, I have pneumonia. I went to the emergency room, and I thought, well, you know, maybe by the morning I'll be able to go to this wedding. You know, I mean, it just is just the way, you
irrepressible.
Know.
That's quite a healthy response, actually, isn't it?
Well, it took the person who we were going to, the friend whose son was being married, saying, were you mad?
Not
take care of you. But it's interesting, and I don't know if anyone else has this experience, but it's like we function sometimes as if we were back in time, and, you know, can just, you know, sleep it off. And
I'm afraid, I think it's very Len, very Len.
I don't know. It just became so interesting to see how we. Anyway. Thanks, Ellen.
Thanks, Len and Anna.
I mean, I just want to say, because I remember a friend of mine, John, who was quite ill with COVID, and he wondered if he was maybe going to die. He was so ill. And he was telling me, you know, in that moment where I was so ill, nothing mattered anymore. You know, nothing, there was no attempt at understanding my true nature or resisting, or it was just really cooperating with, not even cooperating, but just being very, very ill. And that was it. It wasn't, but it was okay, but it wasn't. So there are moments like that, I guess. And then I'm sure I remember also being with a friend. And I'm sure you all have had the experience of being maybe with people who are close to death, and the grace and the light and the sense of divinity there. And so, yeah, it's not, I think the humility of really not really understanding how it's all orchestrated. Any deep thoughts on that, anybody? Greg, you're laughing.
Oh, hi, Ellen. So nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Be with you. Very nice. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Say hi to Rosanna.
Will do. All right.
Ellen, I had a comment. It's always so interesting to me that sometimes during our meetings at the shrine, you'll just be saying a word, and just the word will help, like, I don't know, release something or make something a bit lighter, or allow me to kind of get in touch with whatever grace is that releases something or makes something a little bit lighter. And today you kept saying, like, wild. And every time you would say wild, it just really left some, like, an echo of something, even just saying it now. I don't know what that is.
Well, that's a good word. That's a good word, isn't it? I love that word. And just keep saying it. But there's something about the body that is irrepressibly wild. You know, like we get brought up to have whatever good table manners and sit. I mean, I was raised in a Catholic school, and if we during the recess, if we sat on the radiator, I mean, God forbid, we were, you know, sitting on the radiator. It was hot. The nuns would come and say, "Get off the radiator." but there's no really, you in the end the body retains its wilderness, but it does help to say those words. And I don't know, language, I think maybe language is also wild, because after all, language comes from the body in a way. Not really, but in a way, we can't speak without a body. And if we watch babies acquire language, it's such an embodied. So words are not I mean, we use them as concepts, but really the reason wild spoke to you is because it was being uttered sort of specifically at that moment and resonated directly with wild. Yeah. Wild resonating with wild.
Yeah.
But you know, and then that word, you know, you know, write, color, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. It reminded me the one time we were in the shrine and you kept saying hello, what you said today again, hello body, hello, hello. And it just did the same thing.
Yes.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you, Kyra. Kyra, Kyra. It's language. It's there's a particular language, I think, that is direct. And I think we all each, you know, we should, I don't know, we should, no shoulds, no shoulds. But there's maybe to try and speak. You know, hello body came to me one day and during meditation. So I use it often, but it was just so direct. It was like, how else can we put it? If I say welcome your body, which I also say, but it's a little bit like, no, fuck you, I don't want to welcome my body. Don't tell me what to do. But if you say hello body, suddenly it's, I don't know. Although that could trigger some reaction too. About hello body. Anyway, but you know, you get your own. Obviously, you have your own ways.
I think it was also a couple of days ago, I was watching this movie, A Monster Calls, I think. And it's a movie about a young boy who's losing his mother to cancer. And his imagination calls forth this monster who helps him deal with grief. And the monster tells him that stories are wild things. And it just did the same, something similar, but on a much lower kind of level or wavelength than today. But it is something about that word in the last few days, and it felt really strong. The vibration felt really strong today. Wild.
Wild. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure, you know, what wild has to do with our true nature. You know, our true nature is neither wild nor not wild. But I think the use of that word for me is connected to how deadened we are. Our senses, our tactile sense, our how we've lost touch really with that. And the elements and that our bodies put us in touch with and that has to do with life and with a kind of intelligence that is I don't know that is
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Kyra.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. Yeah, I was just thinking that wild for me, I think it was more like alive or not separate, like this kind of connection to the larger community of life. And then on the other hand, wild is also a bit not safe. So, or at least not the kind of safety that we live with in our modern lives, you know, this kind of nature stays outside, no box, you know, like this. But then on the body and mind level, I feel like that I'm finding more and more like that in the body, there's this safety while the mind is this kind of a more dangerous place. And then it's, for me, the mind is wild in this sense of like, oh my God, what my mind comes up with, like at night in my dreams, like, you know, all these like wild things that I've, that are out of my control really. While like I do have a lot of emotions in my body and this grief and anger but more and more with practice, and I just went to a silent retreat, I felt like I understood so much more deeply how the body is really a place of safety. When I'm staying there, when I'm not giving in to my mind's kind of tendency to go on to the next thing and basically start thinking. Yeah. And
there's a simplicity to the body.
Yeah, the simplicity and really the calm. I mean, it's not always calm, of course. Sometimes there's pain but somehow there is a deeper knowing, and I can go into the body and I can stay there. And today in the meditation today, my mind was coming in with this kind of habit of saying, I know these words of Ellen. I know what she's saying. I know, you know, this kind of being, when is something new coming? And like somehow the mind wanting a new experience and not wanting to be with the simplicity of it. And
well, but you know, but yeah. Yeah, I think the body is in a way it's simple, because it's not simple, but it's, I don't know, it's in the now, and there's gravity, and there's a sort of archetype to the body and the breath. And but the mind, yeah, you're right, the mind is very wild, and but very important to not dismiss the wilderness of the mind. And you said the dreams, you know, and I think the images are to you, because there's the sort of repetitive kind of thing. Sorry.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know what you. Yeah, it just inspired me. Yeah, but go on.
Because you said that we don't control it, and no, we don't. Of course not. You know, we're the tip of the iceberg, the waking state ego, and there's a lot under the surface. And whatever comes in your night dream, actually, it's image. So image, in a funny way, is sort of between thought and body, and they are wild, the images that come in our dreams, but they. I don't know what to say about that.
No, I know exactly what you mean. This kind of, because for toward the end of the silent retreat that I went to, like my, on the fifth day or something, my body, I was becoming really silent in internally, more silent, you know, there was a different quality to it. And then I was resting and this image came, and it was like so touching. And it was, as you say, it was not an, was not a thought. It was a real image. That I saw and that I felt and that, yeah.
And sometimes those images are a little bit scary and wild. Like, for example, we dream of wild animals, many of us,
yeah.
Or dark creatures, and that wilderness of the psyche is obviously wanting to get to be known, you know, and to be maybe encountered or talked with. So I guess today the use of that word was more like maybe what Kyra, the way I was coming using it was like Kyra received it, but it's a very evocative word indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And wild is not necessarily safe. No.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting, because, you know, obviously in these meditations, we are interested in the habit of seeking safety.
Mm-hmm.
That is a trait of the separate self, you could say, that it is always constantly seeking safety. Whereas when we touch our true nature, that's no longer a preoccupation, our true nature, like you were experiencing in the moments of safe, of peace and deep peace. Everything's fine. There's no attempt at securing our safety. But obviously, if a big wild animal intrudes your meditation, then you would be seeking safety very quickly.
Yeah, it's interesting that the separate self, that you say the separate self seeks constantly safety in these things, right? In chocolate, in, I don't know, in going buying something on the internet. I don't know. So like doing something that promise you some kind of, like, I don't know, maybe it's more, how do you say this, when you get an Instagram message, you know, that you get gratification. Because I think on the nervous system level, this kind of safety that you feel when you are regulated is almost a state that I, at least, I'm just getting to know this state, like,
yeah.
What does that feel? Because Growing up with a dysregulated nervous system.
Yeah. I'm sure we can all go, yeah. I think there's some different levels, right? So now you're talking about a safety of the body mind, like a sort of natural safety of a body mind that's regulated and isn't on constant high alert. But at a sort of deeper level, our essential nature is free of any fear. But you know, that's easy said, right? Easy said. We get glimpses of it. It's not something we can acquire or understand with the body mind. It's something that we sometimes get a glimpse of and that we can align ourselves with sometimes, with this unconditional, all is well, all is well, all is unfolding in perfection. Which doesn't mean all is always safe and happy and no, there's illness, pneumonia, war, etc., etc. But at the deepest level, all is unfolding as it should. So that's, you know, there's different levels we're talking.
Absolutely. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, Jenny. I hope I'll try to entertain you more next time.
No, I hope you got that right.
I just suddenly I'm thinking about all the Hindu deities and Greek deities. There's a lot of wild stuff that goes on in those mythological systems, which are expressions of the absolute, you could say, but in a plurality. And I think those systems are so intelligent because they are expressing the wilderness of the human body mind, the psyche and the body. But it's harnessed. It's archetypal. I mean, these energies are real. They're real. And each one of us, we sort of touch them through our dreams, through our life circumstance, the basic feelings of anger and fear and love. And, you know, those are big, wild feelings. And they're not mistakes. So, of course, when we go to a silent retreat, you know, all of that sort of everything sort of, it's like we're taming all those things. They're curling up. The snakes are curling up and the lions are going to sleep and all that. But they'll wake up again. You know, they're not meant to be sleeping all the time. That would be very boring. But it's good to know where to go and how to, you know, Shiva. Go to the place, Shiva on top of the mountain. Everybody going to sleep. I think maybe that's a nice image for regulating the nervous system, you know, just. Oh my goodness. Okay, everyone. See you in a couple of weeks, maybe. Take care. You can unmute yourself. Oh, hi there. Hi, Matti. Hi. Hi, Tomas. Nice to see you again.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you,
everybody.
Lota. Thank you, everyone.
So lovely wilderness.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. See you in a few weeks, maybe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Helen.
Bye, Matti.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Zuzu. Bye, Doris.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, Rose. Bye, Ralph and Monica. Mm-hmm.